Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Wow, somehow we survived the blast of desert sand. You know, last week we had AccuWeather on, and they called shenanigans on that right from the beginning. But man, there were a lot of headlines and sensational stories written about it. But somehow we made it through the weekend, and somehow it did not stop anyone from protesting over this weekend. We're live with you tonight at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 if you want to call in, because there have been some protests that have been going around. And I got to say, one story that is making a lot of rounds, and I'm sure people will be talking about tomorrow, is that house in the Central West End where the couple goes out and they're in front of a beautiful home. I mean, it's a huge home, huge home. If I were to look it up on Zillow, which I didn't, but if I were to guess, this is probably, a $3 million home, if that, maybe even more, who knows? I'm not always good at guessing these sort of things. But when I look at the stories and the videos that have been posted online, let me give you just a rundown of what happened. As people were marching through the streets to Mayor Carusin's home on Sunday, calling for a resignation, there were protesters that were doing their thing. And here's what we know about protesting in St. Louis. It's not always a safe situation to be in, and it's not always a crowd that is assembling peacefully. It's not always the case. There's no guarantee. It could turn dangerous or violent or whatever in a matter of a heartbeat. It's not a great situation to have someone walking down your neighborhood, hundreds of people walking down your neighborhood, knowing that at any given time, things could turn sideways. So here's what happens. There's a couple, and it's really making its rounds online right now. Maybe I'll share the story, but there's a picture of it on KMOV's website, and they did a news story on it. The couple are standing in front of their multi-million dollar home, which kind of looks like a museum almost. And the one guy has maybe like an AR-15 or something like that. I don't exactly know what, I don't know my guns by sight. The other lady has what would look like the type of surprise gun you would put in a holster by your ankle. It's a real small, small gun. Pea shooter, was that what you'd call it? Again, I'm not up on the terminology. But they're standing there, and they're basically yelling at the protesters to move along. Keep on going. Keep it out of here. What we don't see in the video and what we don't really know is what happened and what really led up to that point. What we don't know is if there were any problems or complications or anything with the people marching down the street leading up to that. I'm going to guess this was not the best strategy for them. Few reasons why. Number one, there's video of them pointing their guns at the protesters. Maybe not at specific people, but essentially like move it along, but they were pointing it towards the street. Very unsafe. And even in the photo that they took from KMOV, the one woman has her finger on the trigger. So it's in a very unsafe position. Accidents could very easily have happened there, and then a tragedy and something terrible could have went down. And number two, the guy standing there, and a few times you can tell, I don't know if he's taken any gun safety classes, but even though he's standing next to his wife, I've seen this in the video a couple of times, he's not really paying attention to where he's pointing his gun. Even though he doesn't have his finger on the trigger, you can tell for the most part he doesn't. He's just not handling the thing safely. So it's easy to play. It's easy to go back and look at, hey, this is what I would have done better. But let me just say this for a few different reasons. Number one, no one wants these things going down residential neighborhoods. And even though the mayor of St. Louis is a public figure, it's nonsense that people are going up to her house and giving her a hard time and gumming on her doorstep. This is garbage. This is unnecessary. You do not go to the private residence like this. Not good. Number two, it's totally reasonable that the people on that street did not feel safe. St. Louis has its very dangerous moments, and we've had them based on some of the protests that are going on. By the way, on Saturday night, yeah, you want to talk about just how these things can turn in a heartbeat? So Saturday night, there's a group of Catholics that go around the Louis the Ninth statue that's over on Art Hill, and they're praying the rosary. The Catholics are there doing the rosary, and the protesters decided this would be a good time to go start trouble with them. So it starts with them shouting, pictures of them getting violent, with Catholics praying the rosary. So you want to talk about the mindset of what the people are going through right now. Totally understand that they see all of these things going down in their city and think, well, not on my doorstep. This is what they should have done. This is what they should have done. They should have sat inside their house, weapons in hand, and only react if it was necessary. Necessary meaning someone trying to break into their residence or, you know, threaten them. That is the only thing I could think of would be the reaction that would warrant them going out there doing anything. So ultimately, what happens next? There's photos of them on the internet. People are going to figure out who they are. I'm sure they have already. And then they're going to harass them at wherever they work or whatever they're doing and try to make their life miserable. And on top of that, now they know where they live. And who knows if they're going to have to sleep with one eye open for the rest of their time living at that house. So that's what they're up against. See, and it's tough. It's a tough situation to be in. Maybe I'll share that article from KMOV here in a moment. I'll do that on the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. I hope you can like and join us on there. I want to talk about a few things. I want to ask you if you've seen this video online, this viral video of the two, I'm going to guess they're married. We'll just assume, but let's just say I could be wrong because we don't really know much about them. But let's say the couple goes out, guns in hand, telling the protesters to move along as they're marching down their street. And essentially just trying to show we're not putting up with this, so don't mess with us. Do you sympathize with them or do you think they are dumb? Do you think that was totally unnecessary? And do you think that, well, good luck with what's about to happen next? How do you feel about these guys? Because online, it's a mixed reaction. A lot of people were saying, good for them. A lot of people were saying, how dumb are they? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Here we are in Overnight America, Sunday night, and we're talking about what happened earlier in the Central West End. This is where a group of, I think they estimate, I was looking at, I was looking online and trying to really get a pretty good feel of who was there, how many people were there, things like that. And what we find is that when these type of events happen, it's almost like it could change on a dime. And unfortunately, not always it's reported accurately. So a lot of times you'll see, oh, peaceful protests, no problems. And then you can go and look at some of the different calls to police that were anything but peaceful. And that's kind of the shame, because these things could turn. The intention for the vast majority of the people would be this is going to be a peaceful protest. But when you go online and you solicit, hey, we need to go make a bunch of noise here and there and there, what it does is it also brings in people that have no intention to peacefully protest. They're there because they want to create a scene, because they feel they can do it. They feel like the police have been backed off. So why not? This is the opportunity to do it. And what we're seeing is a story about how the protest broke into a private street, so it's not it's closed off to the public, meaning that you'd be trespassing to go through there if you were not invited. And that's exactly what we're seeing, at least what I'm seeing online. I don't know this 100% for sure, but people are showing, okay, here they are going through the private gate, through the private street, and then hundreds of people marching down this private street. And you see two people, I'm going to guess their husband and wife, standing in front of their very large home with weapons and just basically saying, get out of here, keep it out, you know, keep it off our property, keep it moving. And they were doing so in a really interesting way. I gave my explanation of what I saw in the video, but I'm really more interested in what your first impressions were. So let's go to James, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
James?
Hello? Yes, go ahead.
Are you addressing me?
Yes.
I was just wondering, now, if I have a right to carry a gun, and they have a gun, and he pointed in my direction, and I pointed my gun in his wife's direction to tell him, hey, if we all lower it, that'll be fine. I don't mind you having one, because I got one, too. Where do we go from there?
I don't know. I really don't know what happens there. This is how you escalate things.
As long as you don't point it at somebody, it's okay. You can show me that you have it. But if you point in my direction, I shouldn't have to tell you not to do that. Because, as you know, there can't be accidents. But my thing is, you got a gun, now I got a gun. Now we feel an equal. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's an interesting. I don't know what the wrinkle is here based on being its private road, private residence. So they shouldn't have been there to begin with. So were they essentially trespassing, just walking down the road even? And would that give them the opportunity to come out and feel like they needed to defend themselves? I don't know. But let me tell you this. I broke down the video in the first segment, and the one woman, she had her finger on the trigger and she was waving at people and pointing it in directions. And the one guy he was holding the gun and he wasn't really paying attention to where he was pointing it. Very easily, there could have been an accident there. And it probably one of those two would have shot the spouse. That's probably what would have happened. I think at least. So did you see the video, James?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So the video, it's going viral right now. When you hear about things like this, when they escalate, when they get to this point, what's your first reaction to these protests? Do you normally side with them or do you normally don't side with them? I'm just curious.
Well, I usually look at what is the cause of people getting together in situations like this. Because if the cause is valid, then, yeah, you can't just stay law-abiding and be stepped on. You know, sometimes you got to break the law in order to bring attention to how bogus the situation is or how one-sided it is.
What's your comfort level? What laws would you feel comfortable breaking if you felt it was necessary?
Well, I would feel comfortable if they said, let's see.
Okay, how about this? Let me give you some scenarios, and then we could see how far it escalates. Can we do that?
Okay.
Okay, so taking paint rollers and painting messages in the middle of the street.
I don't have a problem with that. That's the street.
Okay. Spray painting statues.
I wouldn't spray paint a statue.
Okay.
I would have a problem with that because then somebody else could come and spray something else. No, I would do the legislative way that it needs to go for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Spray painting wouldn't help me at all.
Okay. So you have a pretty low threshold in the sense that some people would even go farther and they would say it's justified to loot or burn down a building. You know, some people even go that far. So you're nowhere near that level.
No, I'm at the level that, you know, if the situation is right, I'll get enough people that will back me in this situation. And, you know, I know history, so we'll look at history and see what was that situation that caused this statue or whatever. And was it a justified situation that we're all Americans, we're created equal, or was this a cover-up for one group of people that wanted to publicize some of their people? That once we look at the right or wrong part of it, these people were wrong, but they had I can't say a majority, but they had a number of people that wanted it to be this way. And because they lived in that section, that's what they wanted.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, James, thank you very much for your call. Have a good night. It's a good call. Let's go to Joe, who's holding on. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good the way I feel, if that's a private street, that's private. They shouldn't have been on that property. The people that lived there probably paid for that street.
And think of it this way. You know how Google goes around and they'll take street views and maps and all of these things? They do not go down private roads because they can't. They're not allowed. They need permission, which is exactly what we're seeing here. So, from all indications, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm just gathering information from online. It looks like they broke into that private street, went through a gate through it, and then eventually, if that's true, then yes, they shouldn't have been there to begin with.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm 88 years old, and I've lived in this city all my life. I traveled up and down Kings Highway, and I have seen the gates there, and I have seen that Portland Place is private. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't try to drive down the street. They're all beautiful homes in there, I'm sure of that.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't try to drive down there, and they shouldn't have been walking down there. I wouldn't even walk down there. It said private. I understand what the word private means.
That's interesting because if you're on private property all of a sudden, then the need to feel to defend yourself, knowing what you know about the way some of these protests go, maybe that is their mindset. Maybe that's where they're at. Because it's not a public road that they're on. It's at least from all indication.
I think the people that got out there with the guns were... You're agitating them a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're vocal. Right now, I'll tell you, I was never prejudiced, but all the destruction they've done downtown, breaking mm-hmm. out windows, smashing cars with baseball bats, shooting coppers in the feet and legs, burning down a 7-Eleven, they don't have me on their side no more. This idea of tearing down statues, that's part of history. If they can't accept history, I can accept history. It's just like if I was a Democrat and a Republican got in, I've got to take and accept them. Just like if I was a Republican or a Democrat that got in, I would accept it.
You're right. And let me just put it this way, and this is what we're seeing in the way it's very subjective to whoever sees the history. So we know that there's a lot of people that just absolutely, with a passion, hate Donald Trump. So eventually they'll build a presidential library. Imagine if the crowd came through and say, we can't stand Donald Trump, so thus we need to burn this place down. And people would justify it. They'll say, oh, he was a terrible person. So when we look at history in general, I think it's less about history, and it's more about, well, I have an opportunity to tear down a statue, unfortunately. I don't think they know the history.
Well, I surely hope they don't take down that statue in Forest Park.
No, they better not. I really hope
it's been there as long as I've been a kid and lived in the city of St. Louis, and I can remember walking out because we didn't have no money for a bus fare or anything. I can remember walking out there and walking all over Forest Park. And that's been years ago. I'm 88, and I was just a little kid. We would tell our parents where we were going, and we were about 12, 13 years old, and they said, all right. And, you know, there was no such thing when I was a little kid, people molesting people or anything like that. We were just kids. We got to roam any place we wanted to roam.
You never had any issues.
And but I surely hope they don't.
I hope too.
I hope they don't. The mayor don't cave into their silly idea of tearing down that statue.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Joe.
I appreciate your
call here tonight. Thank you. And you're right. I hope the mayor doesn't cave in. And unfortunately, when they put pressure on a Democratic mayor, and I'm going to add politics into this mix, okay? Yeah, I think the Democratic mayors are more inclined to cave. I just do. I feel like that's just what happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen. This is what I would hope. I hope that when she sits back and looks at just how ridiculous it is that they broke onto the street and then started to protest in front of her house, and the fact that they want to call for her job, they're putting out wanted signs in cars in the neighborhood. And if she goes and looks at this and says, now, if this wasn't so absurd in the way the reaction is to all of this, if she was able to understand that, come on now, maybe the people I've been sticking up for and maybe the ones that I've been allowing to go out and do this sort of thing have gone a little bit too far. Now they've gone too far. Maybe she'll realize it. So 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's what I hope happens. We'll take a look at your weather next. We can take some more of your calls. I got a couple text messages to read. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
KMOX Weekend at your service. Sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling. News Radio 1120, KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Yeah, we're talking about that story that has been circulating online. It's been on a couple of sites. In fact, this is making national news. And this couple is going to make national news websites. It's almost a guarantee. And we're going to get to talk about it first. If you haven't seen it, KMOV, it seems to be one of the first to put an article up with it. But I saw it online first, circulating through Twitter. KMOV's headline, couple points gun at protesters who marched to Mayor Crewson's home Sunday. What I've been able to tell online is that the marchers had broke through a gate and onto a private road. So this is a closed off neighborhood. And because of that, it looks like these two neighbors of Mayor Crewson, I don't know how close they live, but they went out there, you know, guns a-blazing, and basically one stood on the porch, the other seemed to be walking the lawn and was trying to, I don't know what the intention was, really. It's not good. Interacting, telling people to move it along, just trying to show it that they mean business, I really don't know. Not a great situation all the way around, and when you watch this, it doesn't get much better when you see even some of the different camera angles, but it's not going to be good because even Drex up in Canada, who we're going to talk to at about 12:30 or so, in about, you know, 1 hour from now, he even messaged me this video and he said, hey, let's talk about this. This is making international news. So this is off of some of the other things that have happened around the city. Let me read some of these text messages at 314-436-7900. Here's one. It just gets worse now, trying to intimidate homeowners. That's part of what'll happen. Going out and trying to be in a confrontation with hundreds of protesters who broke into your neighborhood. Yeah, I get it. It is threatening. And you can't just slap the, oh, peaceful protesters tag on everything and that's what they do for everything anymore. It's like everything's a peaceful protest. I mean, let's go back to one of the protests that happened in St. Louis. I'll just use this as an example. All the media said peaceful protest all night. This is the time when they were getting on 64 and police in them had to direct traffic off of 64 because the protesters got on the interstate. And as a truck driver, I forgot, was it FedEx or something, gets on the off ramp. They brandish a gun. They immediately jump and try to steal stuff off the back of the truck. And when the driver sees a gun pointed at his head, he floors it. Well, one of the people that jumped on the back to try to loot his truck slips, goes under a tire, and gets dragged and dies. And ultimately, it's determined that the life of this truck driver was definitely in peril, so he was justified to leave, not knowing that there are people jumping on the back, that there's someone else there. But that's all considered peaceful protesting, taking guns, shoving it in people's faces, trying to steal from trucks, stuff like that. That's still labeled as peaceful. And unfortunately, it might not be the full representation of what we see every night or every day or whatever it is. But it's, again, you can't just call everything peaceful when not everything's peaceful. I think a lot of times, okay, how about this? I'll use this other example. This has been going around and circulating as well. Last night, over on Art Hill there in front of the Art Museum, they have that beautiful statue. And part of the statue is King Louis IX So you have it on the horse, and he's standing there, and the namesake of St. Louis, and there's this thing that's been there forever. It's one of the landmarks in Forest Park. And all of a sudden, some people get the bright idea, oh, we want to tear this thing down. Okay. Well, we have this idea that we can debate these things, but this is what one side does. They peacefully go up and spray paint and vandalize and yell and shout. And there's even a picture of some elderly guy getting beat up by some of these protests, too. And this was documented in the Post-Dispatch. You can see that photo right there. Saturday, this elderly man, I'm going to say elderly because he probably is 70 or older. I'm not using, he's not 90, but he was there with the group that was praying the rosary. His Catholic group was up there with priests praying the rosary. And, of course, the protesters come and got to turn things violent. That's part of the problem we're in. If you were to just see some of the reports, they say, oh, peaceful protest and counter-protesters. No, that's not always like that. So here's a couple of other text messages, and I'll take another call. It said, if the people with the guns had legally purchased weapons, they were going to be there before it happened. Luckily, they didn't have to shoot someone. Okay, that was one text message. Two wrongs never make a right. I don't know what that one's in reference to. So it's wrong for them to break in, but it's also wrong for them to brandish the weapon. Now, if you're just joining in, I mean, it's 11:40 on a Sunday night. I started the show and I gave you my thoughts on this. I don't feel like I need to reiterate them again, but I'm really more interested in what your first impressions are of this story. Let's go to James, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah, Mr. Wrecker, just a couple of points here. People better get used to what happened. Those people had a right to come out and defend their property. That's a right. Okay, now what's going to happen, these anarchists, they're going to have to learn the hard way, okay, because we're locked and loaded. I am totally on those people's side. And you know what? There's a hell of a lot of more people like that, Mr. Wrecker. And you know what? We're fed up with this crap of these people thinking they're going to do whatever the hell they're going to do. Not going to happen, sir. We're done with it. Okay, dig this. Black Lives Matter and Antifa and everybody else, we're locked and loaded.
That's what the message is. Do you think that was the message they wanted to portray?
Damn right. And you know what? Yeah. If you think they're the only people out there, I hope people are listening to me. There's millions of people like that in this country. And you know what? We're fed up with this crap. We're fed up with it. We're not taking it no more. And those people are lucky they didn't get shot. They're pushing the envelope. I know what they want to do, Mr. Wrecker. They want to cause a big incident and then blame us white folks for defending our property. I know how this game's played. I'm 60 years old. I've seen this coming for 20 years, okay? We're not taking it no more. So, I mean, I hope people hear my voice. I'm loud and proud. And you know what? We're going to defend this country, and we're going to defend our property.
Okay. James, thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you. Let me point out, this is residential, so you could look at some of the way these protests go. They can meet in front of the police station in Ferguson. They could march through the streets of downtown. They can do these certain things. We're talking about a private residential area where obviously these homeowners, the ones that live there, were not expecting that. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I don't know. But they see this and they get worried and they get upset because they think, okay, here it is. This is the same group of people that go through and bust windows and loot and burn buildings down. This is, I'm guessing, their impression. They feel threatened by all of it. And by the way, you wouldn't feel a little uneasy knowing protesters were walking through your front lawn, the same ones that have caused problems in the past? You tell me you wouldn't feel a little uneasy? I think going out on your front porch, pointing a weapon at them, that's a huge mistake. You could have very easily accidentally discharged your firearm. And by the way, they went against so many different safety protocols. Anyone that's a gun owner would look at that and say, no, you don't do that, you don't do that, you don't do that. It just leads me to the impression that they really don't know how to handle those things. And if that's the case, even more so, it ups the percentage chance of an accident and a tragedy happening in that standpoint. So who knows? 314-436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And Overnight America continues. We're going to be here for a little while in what I hope is a discussion on this a little bit further. And I'm getting some comments online regarding the article, and I posted it, and you can see the photo of it at Ryan Recker Radio if you go on Facebook. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you see this? And Stephen had the best answer so far, which is no training. Isn't that the truth? Let's go to Ryan, who's holding the line. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hello?
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Ryan. Hey, yes. My first comment is to say that, you know, private property, they have a right to protect their property. I think that, like you just said, you had a comment that said no training. And I honestly think that here's where I'm coming from. When I hear this story, because I didn't see it, I've been working all day. When I heard you talking about this story, my thought was this. It's one thing to bluff. People will buy that. But if you have your finger on the trigger and you're pointing and you're saying, move on, move on, and they're scared, there's hundreds of people, that's a little bit different. And I would think that as a protester, you would look at that situation and be like, okay, I better not press because they're ready and I might be the one they kill.
I wonder, too, how many people are going to watch this and think to themselves, what would happen if they were walking over my lawn? You know, I wonder how many people are going to try to come up with their own plan.
Right. And the thing of it is this. It's not like these protests when you're on your property. I mean, if I had thousands of people walking through my property, and I live out in no man's land, and if I saw a group of people coming towards my house, that would raise a ton of red flags. And I wouldn't just show up with some water guns and... So my point basically saying is these guys probably wanted to show everybody that they're not playing around. And yep, whether okay. You're trained or not, when your life is threatened, you're not going to keep the safety on. You're going to point your gun. You're going to make your point heard that, hey, do not cross me. And I think that probably that is the message that they were probably trying to send. And if it was their property, and like I said, I didn't know the whole story because, like I said, I was at work. But basically what I've heard from you know, listening to your show so far, that these people were walking on property that wasn't belonging to them. And it was a mob. It wasn't just like one or two people. You know, one or two people, you can control that. But when there's a lot of people coming through and you don't know what they're capable of doing, I would think the point would be to not bluff, to throw training out the window and to do what you need to do to make sure that they understand that this could be the end if they do cross the line. And I think that that's probably what they were trying to portray. Now, whether that was right or wrong, I don't know. Thank you.
That's a lot of things. Thank you. Have a great night. And that's the thing. The right or wrong aspect of all of this and trying to figure out if this was right or wrong, I definitely think this is the wrong way to handle it. So don't... Don't get me wrong here. I feel like when I look at the and thank you for calling in, Ryan. I think there we go. Okay. Line was open there for a little bit. So I think that the whole idea of being on your front lawn and the way that they handle the firearm, I'm just going to reiterate what Steven said on Facebook. No training. Another message on Facebook when I posted this at Ryan Recker Radio. Brandishing a firearm comes to mindset first. Second, that these people are afraid and rightfully so. Unfortunately, they choose an ill-conceived way to try to control the situation. 100% true on that. Paul Berry III on Facebook. They need a basic class in gun safety. She could have been shot. Carry gun is legal. You don't point a gun unless you intend on using it or placing someone in custody. Yeah, and part of this is you can see them. They have it up. They have it up like they're holding it like it's a movie prop. And he is just holding this thing, standing next to his wife, and the barrel of the gun is pointing at his wife at sometimes during this video. She's got the gun, finger on the trigger, and she's pointing it at the road where the protesters are walking. through the private road and the private residence through the lawn. Most of them are pretty far off from the actual porch, per se. And it doesn't look like anyone, at least from what I can tell in the video, approached the door or approached the porch. Now, we know when the protesters got to Mayor Cruzan's house, that's a different story. You know, they got right up in there. And that could have been dangerous. But, you know, imagine Mayor Cruzan reacting that way. What do you think people would be saying then? Would that have turned everything upside down? But it doesn't look like they were the target. It doesn't look like they were going to target anyone else. Obviously, the protesters should not have been there. They are not allowed on that private residence. They were trespassing. Sure, I get that. 314-436-7900. Here's a couple of text messages. Ordinances say no protests without a permit. I don't even know if you can issue a permit on a private property, right? You can't just like, oh, I'm going to go protest on this person's land. No, I don't think you can do that. So either way, yeah, that wouldn't have been allowed. So you can tell the protesters don't really operate in the mindset that they're trying to do so legally or try to do so with the understanding that, oh, we need to make sure we get all the paperwork in place. Another text message. Why don't protesters all carry a broom and dustpan and clean up the city as they walk through it? It would accomplish something good, and their message would be, we want to clean up the city. No. You don't understand. They carry around paint buckets, and they like to paint monuments in the ground, and they like to leave trash. They don't pick up trash. By all means, no. They're not trying to make the grounds any better. That was one of the things that when I was growing up in the Boy Scouts, the whole idea was the goal was to leave the place better than you got there, right? You're supposed to leave it better than the way it looked from earlier. And I get that. And that's not the mindset anyone has anymore. Let me read this real quick. And I just want to just reiterate something, because when you hear about different protests and you hear about things that are safe, City of St. Louis is still battling some pretty chronic violent crime issues. So I decided to go on to the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department website, and I decided to scroll through all of the different calls they had in a matter of about 26 hours or so that they decided to show on that page. So you can actually go through and you can see all the calls that they received. Like, here's one for assist to a motorist. Here's one for a disturbance. Here's one for a prowler. Here's one for an accident. Here's one for a nudity. Okay? I guess they get police calls for everything. In a period of about 26 hours, about 27 hours, from 4:30 p.m. Saturday to 7:30 p.m. Sunday. That's when I decided to look at it. It was about 7:30 today. And I wanted to go through the list, and I wanted to see how many shots fired or shootings were reported in the city of St. Louis in that 27-hour period from a Saturday to a Sunday. I want you to come up with a number in your mind, okay? The number is 66 during that time, 66 between shootings and shots fired. These are separate incidences that were reported to the police over that time. We got a lot of issues here in the city of St. Louis, a lot of issues. If you think a statue in Forest Park is where you want to focus all your time, hey, it's your time. I get it. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to guess that with all of the other efforts and everyone else that likes to get caught up in the moment and get caught up in the whirlwind of, oh, this is what's timely and this is what people are chattering about and things like that, what are we going to do to address the bigger issues in the city of St. Louis? The issues that are taking children's lives, kids, teenagers, they get shot, they get killed in St. Louis every year. What are we going to do for the times where someone's just sitting and eating a sandwich at a restaurant downtown, someone comes up, targets someone and misses, shoots and kills an innocent person? What are we going to do when the prosecution says, oh, we'll settle for 4 years for cold blank murder? Are you kidding me on this? What are we going to do when every single weekend we're facing 100 people getting shot in a city that's nowhere near the size of Chicago? We're smaller, and we're seeing this nonsense happen over and over and over again. And we point at some of these other cities that have some violent crime issues, and we look at ourselves and say, what are we doing for this community? It's unfortunate. We're not doing enough. Not enough's happening. The statue's not the issue. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.